The EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan Lewis brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's EWTN Rome Bureau Chief, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider. This is a briefer edition than usual because EWTN staff have some time off on Holy Thursday and Good Friday for liturgies, so programs, scripts, etc. had to be ready by Wednesday. After the news segment, stay tuned for the interview and for part two of my conversation with a longtime friend and a colleague when we both worked at Vatican Radio for many years, Tracy McClure. Tracy and a few others made some history not long ago by founding DIVA, Donne in Vaticano, Women in the Vatican, the first ever women's association approved by the Vatican. And full disclosure, I'm a member of DIVA and have participated in many activities, but I wanted Tracy to give you the behind-the-scenes input. So stay tuned to learn more about women in the Vatican. Now, a few news highlights. Sunday, April 14th. On Palm Sunday, Pope Francis warned against the temptation of triumphalism, encouraging Catholics to follow Jesus' way of humility and obedience, exemplified in his Passion. Joyful acclamation at Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, followed by his humiliation. Festive cries, followed by brutal torture. This twofold mystery accompanies our entrance into Holy Week each year, said Pope Francis in his homily. He prayed for the grace to follow in faith our Savior's example of humility, to heed his lesson of patient suffering, and thus to merit a share in his victory over the spirit of evil. Pope Francis and dozens of archbishops and bishops, all clad in red vestments, processed into St. Peter's Square, carrying elaborately woven palm branches known as parmorelli. An estimated 50,000 faithful present for the Mass also carried palm or olive branches. Brothers and sisters, there's no negotiating with the cross. One either embraces it or rejects it, said Francis. True triumph involves making room for God, and the only way to do that is by stripping oneself, by self-emptying, to remain silent, to pray, to accept humiliation. Palm Sunday also marks the local diocesan celebration of World Youth Day. Pope Francis invited the young people in St. Peter's Square to read his recent post-synodal apostolic exhortation, Christus Vivit. In this text, he said, each of you can find fruitful cues for your life and your journey of growth in faith and in service to your brothers. At the conclusion of the liturgy, Pope Francis prayed the Angelus with the crowd and then rode through St. Peter's Square in the Popemobile, greeting pilgrims. Monday morning, April 15th, the Pope received a group of representatives from Italy's National Amateur League on the 60th anniversary of its foundation. The league counts over 12,000 amateur football clubs, with more than a million young members united by a great passion for football. He encouraged his guests to embrace a spirit of solidarity, to reach out to those who have fallen or taken a foul, and not to look down on those who are not as good. This spirit of solidarity, he said, means understanding that in society we can only win when we work together, and if we allow those who are weak to stay on the sidelines, we all lose. Also Monday, in the afternoon, Pope Francis went to Mater Ecclesiae Monastery in Vatican City to offer Benedict XVI his best wishes for Easter. The visit also offered the Pope the opportunity to extend birthday wishes with particular affection to the Pope Emeritus, who turns 92 on Tuesday, April 16th. Monday evening, the interim director of the Holy See Press Office, Alessandro Gisotti, issued a brief statement in reaction to the devastating fire that engulfed the Cathedral of Notre Dame on Monday evening. The Holy See has heard with shock and sadness the news of the terrible fire that devastated the Cathedral of Notre Dame, symbol of Christianity in France and in the world. We express our closeness to French Catholics and the people of Paris. We assure our prayers for the firemen and all those who are doing everything possible to deal with this dramatic situation. Also Monday, both the Holy See and the Archbishop of Paris encouraged prayer while firefighters battled the blaze on the roof of Notre Dame de Paris. To all the priests of Paris, the firefighters are still fighting to save the towers of Notre Dame de Paris. The frame, the roof, and the spire are consumed. Let us pray. If you wish, you may ring the bells of your churches as an invitation to prayer, Archbishop Michel Aupetit tweeted on April 15th. To Tuesday, April 16th, Pope Francis sent a telegram to Archbishop Michel Aupetit of Paris, stating, "I associate myself with your sadness, as well as that of the faithful of your diocese, the inhabitants of Paris, and all the French. In these holy days, where we remember Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, I assure you of my spiritual closeness and my prayer. This disaster seriously damaged a historic building," said the Pope, "but I realize it has also affected a national symbol dear to the hearts of Parisians and French in the diversity of their beliefs. For Notre Dame is the architectural jewel of a collective memory, the gathering place for many major events, the witness of the faith, and the prayer of Catholics in the city." The Pope then expressed his hope, his wish, that the Notre Dame Cathedral can become again, thanks to the works of reconstruction and the mobilization of everyone, this beautiful treasure chest in the heart of the city, sign of the faith of those who built it, Mother Church of your diocese, architectural and spiritual heritage of Paris, France, and humanity. Wednesday, April 17th, speaking to French pilgrims at the Wednesday General Audience, Pope Francis thanked the many people who risked their lives to salvage Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. He said he felt a great sense of sorrow for the damage caused by the devastating blaze. Pope Francis spoke by phone with President Emmanuel Macron on Tuesday, personally expressing his solidarity with the people of France. He repeated the feeling again on Wednesday, telling the nation, "I feel very close to all of you. May the Virgin Mary bless you and support the work of reconstruction. May it be a harmonious work of praise and glory to God." Donations are pouring in to rebuild Notre Dame Cathedral. Nearly $1 billion have already been raised. The French government, which owns the cathedral, is setting up an office to gather donations. Barbara Yatta, the head of the Vatican Museums, said her staff of art historians and restorers are willing to do anything we can to help. Daring the odds, President Macron has pledged to restore Notre Dame Cathedral to her former glory in 5 years, just in time for the 2024 Paris Olympics. The Pope's focus at the General Audience Catechesis was on the Lord's Prayer in the light of Holy Week. He picked out 3 prayers of Jesus to the Father during his Passion, from the Last Supper, Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane after his Last Supper, and finally, the 3rd prayer of Jesus at the moment of his crucifixion. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Well, as I said earlier, this was just a brief news segment this week. I close, however, in wishing all of you, my listeners, my readers, and my TV viewers, a meaningful Holy Week and a blessed Easter of the Resurrection. Welcome to this week's Q&A, and today I'm going to talk about visiting 7 churches on Holy Thursday. I was asked by friends with whom I was visiting the altars of repose in 7 churches in Rome after the Mass of the Lord's Supper how this tradition of visiting 7 churches began. It seems that this tradition is an ancient practice that probably originated in Rome, where early pilgrims visited the 7 major basilicas as penance. Those basilicas are St. John Lateran, St. Peter, St. Mary Major, St. Paul Outside the Walls, St. Lawrence at Verano, St. Sebastian, and Holy Cross in Jerusalem. Pope Boniface VIII revived the pilgrimage tradition in 1300 with the establishment of the Jubilee Year, and Rome became a center for pilgrimages. The 7 churches developed as particular sites for visits. The 7 areas may also be related to the historical 7 deacons of Rome, whose responsibility was to minister to the poor in their region of the city. The first 7 deacons in the church were the 7 assistants ordained by the apostles to minister to the poor. Today, most people visit 7 churches of their choice, be it in Rome or in their home diocese. The pilgrimage to each church corresponds to the 7 stops or stations of the Via Crucis made by Jesus on his way to Calvary. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus bound and taken before Annas, Jesus taken before the high priest Caiaphas, Jesus taken before Pilate, Jesus taken before Herod, Jesus taken before Pilate again, and Jesus given the crown of thorns and led to his crucifixion. Now here's an interesting comment from the Archdiocese of Anchorage. "Especially if you live in an urban area, the Holy Thursday visitations are an excellent grace-filled way to end Lent and enter into the Triduum. Here's the simple devotional exercise that Romans have been practicing for centuries. Upon entering each church, visit the altar of repose, kneel, make the sign of the cross, read the appropriate scripture reading for each station. Each visit ends with 5 Our Fathers, 5 Hail Marys, and 5 Glory Bees. After this, spend a few minutes in private prayer and adoration before moving on to the next church. Finally, at the 7th church, you can end the pilgrimage with the Holy Hour and prepare to enter into the Easter season in 3 days' time.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just to, with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from his perspective, what's the friendship that we have with him look like? How would he describe our friendship with him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
A very wonderful woman I knew had 4 children, and all 4 died. And somebody went up to her one day, and they said, oh, what a pity. And she said, oh, no, what a blessing. If we don't begin to look at everything with the eyes of Jesus, you will become helpless and hopeless.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Thanks so much for joining me today for part 2 of my conversation with Tracy McClure, a longtime friend and a colleague when we both worked at Vatican Radio for many years. Tracy and a few others made some history not long ago by founding DIVA, Donne in Vaticano, Women in the Vatican, the first ever women's association approved by the Vatican. Now, full disclosure, I am a member of Women in the Vatican and have participated in many activities, but I wanted Tracy to give you the behind-the-scenes look at this unique organization. Last week, she told us about the history, the members of DIVA, and a look at a few of its activities. Today, we look at Pope Francis's words about women, learn more about DIVA's projects, and Tracy tells us of her challenges and joys as founder and president of DIVA. Pope Francis speaks a lot. He has in the 6 years that he's been Pope. He speaks a lot about the role of women in the church. Obviously, women in the family, just the importance of women in the world. And were any of his words kind of also behind you in your minds when you were creating Donne in Vaticano? A group of you, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Obviously, yes, we all work for the Pope, and so what he has to say is part of our everyday lives. I think we took some encouragement, or a lot of encouragement, from his words talking about the need to bring women into more roles of responsibility and leadership
in the church. Yeah.
And we're hoping also that we're going to be seeing more and more of that also in the Vatican itself, but in the church in general. We saw some of that also reiterated at the recent Synod on Youth. There was a lot of talk there about giving more responsibility and more voice to the women in the church.
And he has named a number of women to positions where they're in the second or third position of importance in various Vatican offices and dicasteries.
I'd like to just take a look back at maybe some of the people who have held roles that have been quite important. There was the Australian Rosemary Goldie.
Oh, yes.
1964. She was appointed by Paul VI as an auditor at the Vatican II. Council of Vatican II, and then 1967 to 76, she was a vice secretary of what was known then as the Concilium de Laicis, what would be
Council for the Laity.
Exactly. Then, of course, we had Enrica Rosanna, Suora Enrica Rosanna, who was a Salesian sister. She was the first undersecretary of a congregation here in the Vatican for consecrated life. She was followed by Suor Nicoletta Spezzati, and there's another Spanish nun now who also has taken over as undersecretary. Of course, then in 2010, we had the Italian Flaminia Giovanelli, who we all know, and she's also a member of our association. She was called to be the undersecretary of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace, which then became the Dicastery.
Oh, yes, for human, integral human development. I always have to think before I
think
say
twice,
that name.
Think yes. twice before you exactly. give the name.
And then just recently, Romilda Ferrauto was named by the Secretariat for Communications as an advisor to various offices of communication, so as a special advisor.
That's right. She is a colleague of ours. She's also vice president of DIVA, as we like to call it, in a fun sort of way. Yeah, she's the a senior advisor to the ad interim director of the press office now in the Vatican.
So some really amazing stories. We could put out a volume, and it would really capture people's attentions. But, Tracy, earlier we referred to some of the activities that we do. I know we try to meet once a month, just in the evening, at the end of a work day, maybe to have a glass of wine. But there's also more important constructive activities. Name some of those. Or visiting offices in the Vatican.
Yes, one of the things, if I had to say what I've really enjoyed maybe the most, is meeting colleagues who I have never dreamt of even meeting. We had a visit to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. You would imagine that office is filled with priests and clergy and canon lawyers and theological geniuses. But it was filled with women.
Yes.
And that was a huge surprise to me. It was staffed by a large number of women who have, you know, roles of responsibility there. And we were introduced to the prefect, the undersecretary, the secretary. And
Cardinaladeria welcomed us in a great big conference room. And then he made some remarks himself, but basically turned the meeting over to the women
exactly.
who work at the Doctrine of the Faith.
Exactly. And it was a real eye-opening experience for someone who has worked in the Vatican like I have for more than 25 years, and very refreshing. It was a very open door, very friendly atmosphere.
I wanted to visit their archives and so
wonderful, beautiful biblioteca.
The library.
Oh,
gosh, yes. And then we've had masses with Father Lombardi, Federico Lombardi, our spiritual advisor.
Father Lombardi, of course, people probably have known
from
him.
From the press office.
From the press office, but for many years he was also the he was the director of Vatican Radio as well. And
well, he was
director.
Vatican Radio TV and the press office one time. I mean, his days never ended. He could have had a cot in each office for how long his days were.
So we're very lucky to have him as our spiritual advisor. And he has been taking us on what I would call a pilgrimage around the very little known Vatican chapels and churches.
Yes.
At Vatican Radio, it's outside the Vatican walls. I had no idea there were all these wonderful chapels and churches.
The Teutonic Chapel where we had Mass recently, just off in a beautiful little chapel off of the Teutonic Cemetery, which not that many people know that the Vatican has that. That's got a huge amount of history.
The San Pellegrino, which is a very ancient little chapel inside the Vatican, right next to the television office.
Yes.
What else? There's the Santo Stefano degli Abissini, which is St. Stephen's, right behind the Basilica of St. Peter's. Is this other little chapel, which I have still not seen, and I'm hoping that we will have the opportunity to see that with Father Lombardi one of these days as well.
That has quite an extraordinary history as well, and I've been there for a number of different events, actually, and it's always memorable to be in. It was not too long ago kind of restored, so yeah, a very, very beautiful thing. But there's a lot of activities, and it is fun when a colleague calls up and says, there's something special organized by this dicastery or this council or this congregation. Let's go visit. Or the museums. We had a recent tour of Russian art and so forth. But there's also things where we try and reach out and help people who are less advantaged than we are. You mentioned, for example, helping mothers who need care. You mentioned the foster care and so forth. So there are some wonderful initiatives of DIVA.
Well, before I go into that, I just wanted to remind you also, we've had some very interesting conferences with, we had Barbara Yatta, the director of the museums,
the first woman to direct the Vatican Museums.
We also had Flaminia Giovanelli come speak to give us a bit of encouragement that women who have reached levels of great responsibility in the Vatican, they have come to talk to us and tell us, you know, some of the hurdles that they've had to jump over in order to get to where they are today. We have something also to look forward to, in a way.
Exactly.
Then we also have had Sister Mary Malone. I think she's the first woman rector of a pontifical university, of the Antonianum in particular, which is one of the 9 important pontifical universities here in Rome. We had her come and speak about women in leadership positions in the church. We've also had a Syrian nun working with young children in Damascus at a home run by the sisters. She came to speak to us while the bombs were still going off in her hometown there. So we're trying to offer as many different occasions as possible also to hear the stories of women who really are inspirational for us.
And all the one bond we have in common, other than being women, is the love for the church. And there are women who could earn, with their huge talents, backgrounds, degrees, experience, they could earn major bucks someplace else, but they love the church. And they're willing to make even an economic sacrifice to do their work for the church.
I think that many people would agree that if we were working somewhere else, we'd be probably earning double. At least double.
But the love for the church, and you hear that when we get together or when we're sharing a story about a colleague who is in need or whatever. Just, I think, all the qualities that women are known for, the nurturing, the caring, the loving nature of women in general. And, you know, Tracy, I'm honored to be part of this, certainly as a retiree from the Vatican. But I want to encourage, when the website is up, we'll put that up as well. You'll get to know more. But I'm going to post some pictures as I announce this, as I always do, on my blog the Friday before Vatican Insider airs. And I just want to close really by thanking you for your time, helping to create what I'm going to call a beautiful tapestry. All these colorful threads, the lives of these wonderful, amazing women. Singly, they are amazing. Put together, it's a very beautiful portrait of women using their talents for the church, helping the church to grow and become the beautiful church that we know and love. So, Tracy, keep up the good work. You know, DIVA is only 2.5 years old. In human terms, you'd be a toddler, but I think you've made enormous progress in those 2.5 years. What do you consider your biggest challenges and your biggest joys?
Biggest challenges is trying to find the time to work on the projects that we're trying to get off the ground or working on. Most of us have got interests beyond our work in the Vatican. Sure. Many of us have families or people that we're caring for. Just finding the time. That's one of the biggest challenges.
And your joys, your satisfactions?
Well, I have to say that maybe one of my biggest joys or satisfactions was when we took a group to Santa Sabina and Santa Costanza, which is a church complex with catacombs on the Nomentana here in Rome. And Father Lombardi took us there, and he offered us a wonderful reflection on the women martyrs in the church. And at the end, he turned around and he said, "I want to thank you. I want to thank Diva for introducing me to a whole new world that I really never thought about before." He said, "I did my research. I looked into who were these saints, who were these early martyrs of the church." And
he gave a recent homily on women in the Bible.
Yes. So that is what really was perhaps for me a real moment of satisfaction and of joy, because we got somebody thinking in a different way about women and their contribution to the church.
After his decades in Rome, too. No, he has delivered some very, very special homilies, always focusing, like you said, on women martyrs, women in the Bible, you know, women in our liturgy. So, well, it's a joy for me to be with you today to talk about this, because it's something that Diva is very near and dear to all of us. And I'll share this experience with our fellow members of Diva. They'll be able to listen to the interview and share these moments. And each of them, I could sit down with each of them and tell a story, couldn't I? Tracy, thank you very much for your time. We're here on a weekend. We should both be out shopping or doing some fun thing. But we're doing a fun thing. We're talking about Diva. So thank you.
It's been great having you here, Joan, and seeing you again. And to our next Diva event.
There you go. Ciao, ciao. Well, that's it for today, but please come back and join me again next week on Vatican Insider.